Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Now go to chapter 14 of the same book, chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 28 and 29. Chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within the gates, and the Levites, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat, and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Go to chapter 24 of Deuteronomy, chapter number 24 of Deuteronomy, chapter number 24, and we'll begin reading in verse number 17, chapter 24 and verse number 17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thine vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Chapter 27, one more verse, chapter 27 and verse number 19. Chapter 27 and verse number 19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for these few verses that we've read, and Lord, we'll read several more before the morning's over. You have a great deal to say, Lord, about this unique group of people, this special group in your heart and your mind, the group that you call the fatherless. And I pray, Lord, that on Father's Day, we can be a blessing to them as well as spend some time in honoring, Lord, our fathers here this morning. Dear God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for constructing the family in the way that you did. Forgive us of our sins in this nation for trying to redefine the family unit, dear Lord, and make it something that you never intended it to be. May we understand that what you have done and what you set forth in your word is for a reason, and it's important, and it should be honored. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. A message to the fatherless on Father's Day. We find in the book of Deuteronomy the laws of God. These laws were delivered by God himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. Contained in the laws of God is provision and protection concerning a group of children and young people near and dear to the heart of God. This special group is identified by the title of the fatherless. A subset of the human race in every generation has fallen into this category. In every generation, there are children and young people who grow up without a father in the house. This may be there may be many reasons for this. It may have been the result of the death of a father. I know of a family very well in this community that just in the last several months, a father was tragically died of a heart attack. A mother is left trying to rear some children. And you know what? There's not a father in that home because of death. This may be the result of the abandonment by the father. And let me just say this, folks, it's just a fact of life. But I want you, all you young men, to listen to me very well, and I want you to get this in your hearts and in your minds and in your head. I don't understand a generation that wants to become a father and then not want to be a father. And you know what? If God's given you a child, then he's given you a responsibility, and that is a lifelong responsibility, not one that's to be discarded when things get a little tough. And so the result of abandonment by the father, this may be the result of the incarceration of a father. And folks, again, that's a very real scenario that we deal with on a regular basis at Blessed Hope Baptist Church here. And these children are very special in our hearts. I remember being with some children in a children's meeting here at the church and asking for some prayer requests and having two different boys raise their hand and say, please pray for my dad, he's in jail. One of them said, please pray for my dad, he's in jail. The other one said, please pray for my dad, he's about to get out of jail. Pray that he'll do right so he won't have to go back to jail. Folks, listen to me, that's real life. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where some of these kids live. And so this may be the result of a death of a father, abandonment by the father, incarceration of the father. This often is the result of the scourge of divorce that has riddled a nation. But whatever the reason, the result is the same. A home is left without a father. A wife is left without a husband, and children are left without the daily influence of a dad. Now, God, in his great wisdom, gives special instruction concerning the fatherless. And by doing so, he reveals to us the value of this important leadership position in the home. Folks, let me just start out by saying this, fathers, you are valuable. You are valuable. And we can tell that by the way God reacts when there is a situation where there is a father that is absent, a fatherless situation. We read several things in the verses in Deuteronomy. We understand, first of all, that these are introductory statements. Fathers are valuable because of the protection they provide for their children. Now you think about that. That's one of our jobs as a dad, is to make sure that we are the protector of our home. When God created the Garden of Eden, the Bible said that he put Adam in there to dress it and to keep it. That word keep is a security term. It's talking about it was his job to protect it. And fathers, that falls on our shoulders. And you know what? There's reasons that the Bible commands people in the treatment of the father. Let's think about this. Exodus 22:22, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Now, why did God have to make that command? Let's stop and put our thinking caps on. Why was it that he told the human race, why is it that he told the children of Israel, don't you afflict a widow or a fatherless child? You know why? Because they are easy prey, because the protector is not in the home. Okay, they're probably not going to go somewhere and try to pick on a lady whose husband is there. Not they're going to go pick on a kid whose dad's there to stand up for him. But you know what? A sorry society seeks out the weak and takes advantage of them. And God says, don't you do that. Deuteronomy 24:17, we read, thou shalt not pervert judgment of the stranger nor of the fatherless. Why would a judge be tempted to pervert judgment and use the law to mistreat a widow or mistreat a fatherless child? Again, because the protector in the home is not there to stand up with a strong voice and say, that's not right, and that's not going to stand. How about Deuteronomy 27:19? Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say amen. Proverbs 23:10, remove not the old landmark. We know that part of the verse, but how about the rest of it? And enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Now, why would it be that a neighbor might decide that instead of just harvesting his crops, he would go over and harvest some of his neighbor's crops? A fatherless family. Why would he do that? Because again, there's not a man in the house to protect that. There's not a man in the house to stand up against that neighbor. Gentlemen, let me say this. Part of our responsibility of being a father is to be the protectors of our home. And we need to take that very seriously. And I mean that. I wouldn't give you a dime for a man that's not willing to die for his wife. I wouldn't give you a dime for a man who's not willing to, if necessary, die for his children. Say, preacher, are you willing to die for your wife and your children? I would be willing to, but I would far rather somebody else die and me remain alive. Therefore, I have the tools at my disposal to make sure that I'm going to come out as the best advantage on the winning side of that. I'm not against dying for them, but I'm going to tell you this. And by the way, you can say this, you can blackball this church, you can badmouth this preacher, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not willing to stand up and defend, and if necessary, take somebody else's life to protect your own children and your own family's life, then I don't have much respect for you. And by the way, you're not going to do that with a butter knife, Mr. Obama. It takes guns, and it takes ammunition, and it takes of the Second Amendment. And there's a reason that all those things are in the Constitution of the United States of America. Say, preacher, do you believe in having guns? I think it ought to be a requirement. I think it ought to be a requirement. I'm talking about you bleeding heart liberals that have jumped over here on the bandwagon. And hey, I was sitting in a restaurant one time and a guy was talking about, he's a liberal and he's talking about gun control, and he was talking about how nobody should have guns and all of this stuff. And I finally got tired of hearing him. So I turned around and looked at him and I said, excuse me, sir. And he said, yes. And I said, let me ask you a question. Somebody walks right through that door of this restaurant and they've got an AR, they've got an automatic rifle, they've got an automatic pistol, and they decide they're going to start killing people. What are you going to do? And he looked at me and he said, well, I'll call the police. And I said, you're going to, no, sir, let me tell you what you're going to do. He said, I'm going to dial 911. I said, no, you're going to dial 91. Because that's about all you're going to get done. I said, let me tell you what's going to happen if that happens, sir. Somebody who believes in the Second Amendment that just happens to be eating in this restaurant with you, that would be me, is going to pull out my gun. And I'm going to not only protect my family, I'm going to protect y'all. And you know what? Meanwhile, you'll be underneath your table praying to the God that you say you don't believe in. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks, there's a reason that our forefathers, who were godly men and Christian men, wrote the Constitution for the way it is. And I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us need to realize that if they disarm us, then you do not have the means to fulfill your Bible responsibility to protect your wife and to protect your children. And that's why you ought to be willing to not only stand for the Second Amendment, but fight for the Second Amendment. All right? Just write that down somewhere. Amen. Fathers are valuable because of the protection they provide their children. Number two, fathers are valuable because of the care they provide for their children. Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18, for the Lord your God is God of gods. And it goes on to say this, that he execute judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Why does God have to step in and provide food and raiment for the fatherless? Because there's not a dad in that home. All right, think about that. Deuteronomy 14, we read at the end of the year that they're to bring in the tithe. The children of Israel was the increase of the same year. Lay it up within the gates so that the Levites and the stranger and the widow and the fatherless can eat and be satisfied. Why was that? Why was that that they needed to do that? Because there wasn't a daddy in the home that's supposed to. Listen, let's just make this clear. Listen, it is not your job as a dad. I understand, folks, that if somebody cannot, I'm talking about physically, cannot work, we ought to try to help that situation. But there's a difference between cannot work and will not work. The Bible says if a man will not work, he shouldn't eat. And you know what? The honest truth is, God puts you, sir, in that home not to be Mr. Mom. He puts you in that home to go out and get a job and to provide for your family and to pay your bills, and it's nobody else's responsibility to do that for your family but yours. Amen. 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 And so fathers are valuable because of the care they provide for their children. Deuteronomy 24, 17, when you're cutting down harvest in the field, you forget a sheath in the field. Why don't you go back again to fetch it? Because it's for the fatherless, the stranger, and the widow. Deuteronomy 24, once you pick your olives, why don't you go through it again? That's for the fatherless. How about the vineyard? When you pick the grapes, leave what's left. It's for the fatherless. Why? Because fathers are valuable because they care and they provide for their children. Say, preacher, are you one of these old-fashioned 1950s-minded people that think a man's supposed to work and a mother's supposed to stay at home? No, I'm an old-fashioned 1611 King James Holy Bible believer that says God has dictated the way the family's supposed to be put together and who's supposed to work and who's supposed to stay home and rear the children. And it's plain in this Bible, if you'll read it, and society has not gotten better because we've ignored this book. And kids have not been raised right because we've ignored this book right here. Amen. Amen. So fathers, you're valuable. A father's not in the home. Guess what? There's no protection for the children. Father's not in the home. There's no provision for the children. A lot of times they're at the mercy of the kindness of others. Number three, fathers are valuable because of the nurture and admonition they provide their children. Listen to this. And by the way, young people, if you're here and you don't have a daddy in the home, I promise you by the time I get done today, you're going to be encouraged. I've come here to encourage you. And one of the hardest things about preaching the Bible is that you preach the Bible to a group of people sometimes that and you know, Father's Day's great. It's a fantastic day. Watch this. Until you're a young person and don't have a daddy. Father's Day's great. I mean, it's fantastic until you're a teenager and you no longer have a daddy in the home. Mother's Day's great. Great until your little Mara Bennett several years ago, as an eighth grader, her and her sister lost their mother to cancer. Then talk about how Father's or Mother's Day is after that. You know, I preach on marriage, and by the way, I ought to and I need to, and it's great. But you know what? It's hard for somebody out there that's sitting there and they're alone, a widower, or somebody that's been the victim of divorce or something like that. It's tough. And when I say this is, while we all celebrate Father's Day, let's remember and keep a kindness in our heart towards the idea that a growing group of people in America today fall in this category of the fatherless. And by the way, when I get done here, you're going to understand we all have some responsibility towards those young people. Fathers are valuable because of the nurture and admonition they provide their children. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I love that. You got the idea of nurturing a child and also of bringing admonition. I believe in tender training, but I also believe in tough accountability. You know, it's interesting, young fathers, that idea of being tender with a child and tough with a child, of both loving the child and being willing to discipline the child, that works. Amen. That works. These are the attributes that bring balance to a man and balance to the home. Every child in here ought to experience a great closeness to his or her father, but every child in here ought also to never lose respect or obedience to his or her father. Fathers are valuable. You think about, think of the nurturing that my dad gave me. A lot of times we think of the term nurturing, we think of a mother. But you know what? Dads, you need to be tender enough to go alongside those children when they are facing difficulties and they don't know what to do. And you know what? Sometimes, yeah, they need a spanking. But can I say this? Sometimes they need a hug too. And so fathers are valuable because of the nurture and admonition that they provide their children. So dads, I want to honor you today. And I mean to salute you. I want to thank you for being the one that stands in the door of your home and says, you know what, wife, children, you can rest easy. You're not going to have to worry about anything. I'm watching over this home. I'm thankful to fathers who say, you know what, wife, children, you don't have to worry about going home or going to bed hungry. Not as long as I have breath and strength, because you know what, God's given me the responsibility to work and care for this family, and I'm going to see to it that it's done. I thank God for fathers that are there in the rearing of their children, not provoking them to wrath, but raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, having those tender times with your children. And yeah, come on now, kids, don't you get mad at daddy, because sometimes he looks you straight in the eyeball and makes you see something you don't want to see and face something you don't want to face and change something you need to change. He's the best friend you have when he's doing that for you. So fathers are valuable. We see this in the teaching about the fatherless. But I decided that this particular Father's Day, and I don't know why the Lord stirred me so strong on that this week, but I believe that God wanted me to take a little bit of the sermon this morning and just encourage the fatherless on Father's Day. The fatherless on Father's Day. Now let me say, preacher, man, I wish I had a daddy at home. And by the way, I don't consider myself fatherless. This isn't a message for Jerry Ross. You say, preacher, you know, your dad's in heaven. He's been gone now for over 5 years, and he's in heaven. Are you talking about being fatherless? Folks, listen to me. Can I say this? I had a daddy that protected me as a child, and I had a daddy that cared and provided for my needs as a child, and I had a daddy that both brought me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and taught me great wisdom and left me a Christian heritage. And you know what? My dad's may be in heaven, but I'm not fatherless. Thank you very much. But that's not true with a lot of young people in this room today. And some of the adults in this room, honestly, you would be surprised if people were honest and opened up a little bit with you, how many adults. The honest truth is, if they were to tell you about their childhood, they were not afforded the honor and the great privilege of having a daddy in the home for them. Now stay with me because I want to encourage you. I want to say some things to you. Go to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. I want you to look at this verse and underline this verse, and I'll probably read most of the other verses, but I want you to see this one. Psalm 27:10. Psalm chapter 27, verse number 10. I want you young people to understand something. Those of you that do not have a father, say, preacher, it's embarrassing at times. It's hard at times. I watch other kids, and to be honest with you, I fight the feelings of envy and jealousy. I feel like sometimes like maybe a second-rate or second-class kid because so many other people have what we call normal functioning homes, and maybe I'm in a single-parent situation. I want you to listen to what the preacher is going to tell you today, and I want you to understand that God, in a very special way, leans down from heaven and showers upon you protection and attention in a way that no other child does. That he does to any other child. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, watch this, then the Lord will take me up. Now, he only gives that promise to kids that don't have a mom or don't have a dad. Maybe they have a mom, they don't have a dad. Maybe they have a dad, they don't have a mom. Maybe they don't have either one. You know what God says? He promises in his word, if your mom forsakes you, if your dad forsakes you, and you know what? Look up that little phrase there. It says, then the Lord will take me up. It literally has the idea of God reaching down and pulling you special in his arms. I'm telling you this, folks, and it's in the King James Holy Bible here. God loves in a special way and gives tender care to a special group of people. And he noticed, listen, preacher, nobody knows what I'm going through. That's not true. God knows what you're going through. Preacher, nobody sees me cry myself to sleep some night. Yes, God sees you do that. And I'm going to tell you something. He reaches down and he gives you tender care and he holds you close in a way that somebody with a mom and dad will never experience. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad I had a dad and I'm glad I have a mom. But I'm going to tell you this. By the time I got done studying about you fatherless kids, I was about half jealous of you. Because you know what? You rate in a special way, in a significant way, in a very important way. You've got a special place in the heart of Almighty God that just normal people don't have. And you know what God says? I'll take you up. I'll take you up. Aren't you glad that God sent Jesus Christ down to earth to provide salvation for us so that all of us have the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God? John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, received Jesus Christ as Savior, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Think about that. Preacher, I don't have a dad. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Well, yes. Then you got a dad. You've got a father. The disciples came to Jesus one day. They'd listened. They'd watched as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And after he got done praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And Jesus said something that to us sounds so normal because we've read it 100 times. But the disciples had never, ever, ever heard this. He said, when you pray, pray thus. Our Father which art in heaven. Now, folks, you say, well, I know that. You don't know. Listen, you don't know the significance of that. We're talking about old Jews that only knew the Old Testament. Nowhere in the Old Testament where you ever see where any Jew was allowed to call God Father. And all of a sudden, Jesus is here. He's come to provide salvation. Because of that, they can be adopted into the family of God. And he said, let me tell you what you can do. When you pray, you want to know how to pray? Here's how you pray. You start out by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. And if you'd have been there that day, those Jews would have looked at each other like, do we say that? Is that blasphemy? I mean, is it true? The creator of the universe, the great and terrible God, is inviting us to call him by such an intimate term. Let me tell you something, young people. You may not have an earthly daddy, but if you're saved, you've got a heavenly father. Amen. And an earthly daddy could only be there part of the time. Because he's got to go to work and he's got things he's got to do. But you know what? A heavenly father can be there all the time. You say, preacher, sometimes I get lonely. Then say, Our Father which art in heaven. hallowed be thy name. And then you know what? You tell him everything you want to tell him, and you pour your heart out to him. And I'm going to tell you something. There is going to be a uniqueness to that relation. Like I said, I'm getting envious of you. I shouldn't tell this story. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it. And then if Gerald and Hannah ever ask whether I told this story, you tell my son-in-law and my daughter that I never told this story. And I don't even know if they know it. So you other grandkids, you can't spill the beans on this, all right? Julia, their oldest. She's into these American Heritage. Is that what it's called? Dolls? What's it called? American Girls? American what? American Girl. I don't know.
G.I. Joe.
Doll, yeah. Dolls, a dolls, a doll. Okay, but American Girl, something like that, dolls. And she reads the books about them, stories about them. So she's with Grandma, and she loves coming to see Grandma. Grandpa, she tolerates. She loves coming to see Grandma. But she's sitting there one day, and she's sighing, and she says, and you just got to know Julia. This is so classic Julia. She sighs, and she says, what was the girl's name? Do you remember? Samantha. She says, I wish I could be like Samantha. And she says, Samantha? Which I think, Samantha. Well, come to find out, it's one of these American, you know, girl heritage whatever dolls, all right? I wish I could be like Samantha. And she said, because it was time for her to go home, I wish I could be like Samantha. And she said, well, why? Why do you want to be like Samantha? Who's Samantha? One of my American girls, doll store. I wish I could be like Samantha. Who's Samantha? Well, you see, now don't get me wrong. I don't want my mom and dad to die. But her mom and dad died, and she got to live with her grandma full time. What? 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 Hannah and Gerald need to be very scared. Very scared. I kind of like you kids. I know it's tough and I know it's hard and I know you probably felt bad about it, but I'm going to tell you something. The more you read the Bible, there's a part of the rest of us that look at you and you say, oh, but preacher, everybody looks down. No, we look up to you. Because I'm telling you, God's made some promises to you. Preacher, I didn't have a mom or I didn't have a dad. God said, I'll take you up. He says, will you receive me as Savior? Yeah, then I'll become your heavenly Father. And you know what? We'll have a relationship that's super special because of the fact that I've asked you to grow up without an earthly father. I'm going to be even more special to you as a heavenly father. And folks, let me tell you something. You're not a second-rate kid and you're not a second-rate citizen. And God loves you in a way that I don't think he loves anybody else on this planet. When a child is deprived of his or her mother or father, God immediately assumes custodial care. Number two, God offers to every fatherless child the chance to be adopted by him into the family of God. Amen. Number three, God provides special and divine protection for the fatherless. Now, the whole world needs to be put on notice on this. Because God in his word basically has taken the time in a lot of places in the Bible to basically say this. You go mess with a fatherless child, you're messing with me. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't understand this kind of stuff, and I don't understand this kind of wickedness in America. First of all, I don't understand anybody victimizing a child. I mean, if I got a vote in it, just make it a death penalty. Just make it a death penalty crime, okay? And I don't mean after 12 years on death row. I mean just get it done, figure it out. If they're guilty, listen, folks. You say, preacher, I don't know if I like your attitude. Well, you probably wouldn't like Jesus' attitude about it either. Because he said if anyone offends one of these little ones, it'd be better for him that a millstone was placed around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. And I kind of harbor that same type of, listen, isn't it the whole purpose to be like Jesus? Amen. The world doesn't really understand who Jesus is. Okay, well, the meek and gentle Jesus. Well, the meek and gentle Jesus picked up a whip one day and cleared an entire temple out, threw out tables and run everybody out. The meek and quiet Jesus, you know what he said? He said, you mess with one of these little ones. It'd be better for you if a millstone was tied around your neck and you were taken out on a boat and thrown overboard. Listen, what God is saying is, you know what? God's got a special place in his heart for fatherless children. fatherless children. What does he say about that in the Bible? Preacher, back it up. Okay, Deuteronomy 10, we read it, 17 and 18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow. God stands in judge of them. Somebody messes with that group, and you know what? God says, you're messing with your heartbeat. Psalms chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in his heart, that will not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Yea, thou art the helper of the fatherless. And you know what he said? The world is acting like I'm not seeing it, and I can't see it, or I'm not going to do anything about it. But you mess around with fatherless children, and you take advantage of that situation, and you hurt any child, but especially a fatherless child. You know what God says? He says, I'll step in and take care of this situation. Psalm 68, verses 4 through 6. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families, listen to me, young people. Preacher, I don't have a dad, or I don't have a mom, or I don't have a normal biblical family. Let me tell you something. God sits the solitary. That means if you're all by yourself, the Bible says God will set the solitary in families. And one of the reasons that God created the local assembly, the local church, it's the family of God. And you know what? You may be all by yourself, but that doesn't mean you don't have to, you don't have a family. And if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you've got a Father. And if you'll come and join a good, independent, fundamental Baptist Bible preaching church, you've got a family. You've got a family. I thank God for my dad, but I'm going to tell you something that I rejoice in and enjoy. One of the things that's a blessing to me growing up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church was, yes, there was only one man that was my dad, but there's a lot of men that stepped up and taught me man things. And I learned them from Christian men. Hard-working Christian men. That's where I learned them from. Thank God for the local assembly. Thank God that God can take the solitary and put them into a family. And you know what he's done? He's used the local assembly in a lot of young people's lives who did not maybe have a mom or dad. And you know what? They found what they needed right here coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, folks, listen to me. I'm not just trying to sit up here and pat us on the back. We had somebody come into the Vacation Bible School. We'll have this happen almost every year. We'll have somebody from some other church slip in here and they'll sit in the back and they got a notepad or they got a camera and they're trying to figure out how in the world do you get 300 kids to come to your Vacation Bible School? They're spies from other churches is what they are. They're spies from other churches. And we don't ever say anything. We welcome them. I'm glad they're here. But it's almost like, you know, there's got to be some magic formula. Or maybe the way they put the skits on, or, you know, that's it, the preacher, if you wear a beard and part of it's red and part of it's orange, then that's going to bring 300 kids to come into your Vacation at Bible School. And you know what I want to tell them? Put your camera away. Get your money and your checkbook out. Go buy some buses and paint them, and then get enough people that are dedicated enough to visit and care about, watch this, about the fatherless. About kids that don't have a mom to take them to church or a dad to take them to church. Or maybe a mom and dad that just won't take them to church. And you know what? Sometimes it's out of their control. Sometimes it's because of a work situation. A lot of times it's just simply because they don't. But you know what? You can sit there and scratch your head and try to figure out why does God keep blessing that crazy church on the edge of Jasonville? Let me tell you something. It's not a secret, folks. Look in the Bible. Pure religion and undefiled before God. And the Father is this. You know what? You take care of the fatherless and you visit the widow in her affliction. And you know what? We run more nursing home ministries than anybody in the county. We minister to more children that don't have a functioning family than any. You know what? You can say whatever you want to about it. Put your money where your mouth is. And it's not a secret about getting the blessing of God. It's getting back to, listen, the church isn't about us. The church is about helping hurting people. That's what it's about. It's about identifying the groups that are being ignored and oftentimes even taken advantage of. Somebody needs to step into that situation. I'm going to tell you, there's bus captains in this room that are more of a dad to these kids, some of the kids, than anybody, any other human being on earth. I got an email last night from a young lady that I used to be her bus captain. You know what? All these years later, every Father's Day or the night before Father's Day, she always sends me an email. You know why? Not because I was her father, but because she needed somebody as a young lady to be her protector and take care of her and teach her what she needed to know so she could grow up and serve the Lord. And you know what? I'm proud of that young lady. She's serving God all these many years later. You know what? It's because somebody said, I'm going to be God-like in taking care of the fatherless. Now think about this, folks. Watch this. Fathers are valuable. Yes, they are. And by the way, for those of you that have a mom and you have a dad, you ought to thank God for it. But I want to say a word to those of you that are fatherless on this Father's Day. You know what? God has taken custodial care of you, and He's offered you a chance to be adopted by Him into the family of God. And He provides special and divine protection for the fatherless. Psalms 146:9, the Lord preserveth a stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked He turneth upside down. Jeremiah 49:11, leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. Young people, you've got a special place in God's heart. Number four, God commands Christians to stand up for the fatherless and promises rewards to those who do. Psalms 82:3, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Folks, I'm glad that you have your children to raise, but let me say this, your responsibility does not end in your home. There's a lot of kids that don't have a dad. There's a lot of kids that don't have a mom. There's a lot of kids that don't know what it is to be exposed to the idea of a Christian family. I'm glad we pick them up here. Let's take it a step farther. Blessed Hope Baptist Church people, let's reach out and get to know these kids. Amen. Let's love these kids. Let's be a blessing to these kids. How about a mom and dad every once in a while take the kids, go by and pick a bus kid up and when you're going to run to McDonald's? How about investing in somebody? Just a little bit investing in somebody. And alive when the girls were growing up in our church and they all worked on bus routes, and I'm going to tell you something. You want to get rid of selfishness in kids, the best thing to do is put them in the bus ministry. But you know what? It was a regular thing at the Ross household for one of my daughters at the end of her bus route to bring one of the bus girl teens or one of the bus girls and say, Mom, Dad, can I bring so-and-so home for the afternoon? And you know what? It may not seem like a big deal, but I'm going to tell you this. They got to see a Christian family. They had a chance for God to put it in their hearts and say, you know what? I don't even recognize this. I don't have something like this. But you know what? If God will help me and if I'll just do right, maybe one of these days, well, God will give me something like this. And I'm not talking about a fancy place and a rich home, and I'm not talking about elaborate things. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about a place where God is exalted and where we bow our heads and pray before we eat and where we talk about the Lord and where we uplift each other and encourage each other and root for each other. I'm talking about a Christian family. A Christian family. Young people, listen to me. You didn't get a choice of where you were born into. You don't get a choice on that. But you know what? You're going to make some choices in the years ahead. And you need to be, girls, are you listening to me? You need to be smart. Don't you marry some lost guy. Don't you marry somebody that doesn't believe in what the Bible says about the family. If you'll stay in church and stay dedicated to the Lord and be patient, wait for that one God created for you. God has a Christian young man for you. Young men, God's got a Christian young lady for you, and in His time, He'll bring you together. And you know what? You can have what you envied growing up. You can have it every day of your life. You can have it every day of your life. But you're not going to find it following the devil. And you're not going to find it following the booze crowd. And you're not going to find it following the dope crowd. You're not going to find it in the nightclub. You know where you're going to find it? You're going to find it in an independent fundamental Baptist church. That's where you're going to find it. All righty, so God commands Christians, let's stand up for the fatherless. He promises to reward those who do. And I'm going to tell you something, I believe it, I've already said it. But not only will God bless a family, He'll bless a church that decides they're going to care about poor people and fatherless and widows. God's going to bless that church. Let me give you the last one. God views the care of the fatherless as one of the purest acts of Christian piety. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 and 18, for the Lord your God is God of gods. And then he talks about executing judgment of the fatherless and giving him food and raiment. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, we're celebrating Father's Day. And fathers, I honor you. I mean this. Let's live up to our biblical responsibilities. Let's give the example that is needed in our homes and in our community about what a Christian father is to be. We've gotten instruction on that this morning. But for that little group of people, that small group of young people that's in the church today, and you say, preacher, Father's Day is really not much of a good day for me because I just kind of sat around most of the day wishing that I had a father. I want to tell you this. You do have. If you are saved and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is your Father, and you couldn't improve on that for anything. But I also want to tell you this. You know what? Listen to me. God not only will be your Father, but He'll take care of you, and He'll be there for you in a special way. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants to become your Father. One of the benefits of being saved is that God is willing then to come to you, and God is willing to adopt you into His family. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for allowing us to say, Heavenly Father, thank You for being there for us. Even those of us that have earthly fathers, it's sure nice to have a heavenly Father. Lord, especially now for these young people that we've tried to encourage this morning and minister to this morning, I pray, Lord, that You would bless them and help them. Help them to know that they have a Father in heaven that adores them and loves them and cares about them and watches over them and hears their prayers and sees their tears. And I pray, Lord, that they will learn to have a great relationship and develop a great reliance upon their Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that there's a young person here or an adult and they've never received Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that today they would be saved. Lord, please, please, we ask, dear God, that You would make this Father's Day their salvation day. They'd realize that they were a sinner. I mean, 20 people this week walked the aisle of this church and said, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven, but Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. I believe that with all of my heart. I know Jesus did it for me. I know He wants to save me, and I want to be saved. And Lord, to watch them call out, watch them pray. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To watch those 20 young people receive You as Savior, Lord, what a blessing. If there's one more this morning, or two, or three, or four, and they've never been saved, maybe a child, maybe a teenager, maybe an adult, never been saved, I pray today would be the day they receive You as Jesus, as their personal Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name.